Today is Pentecost service. Message title is Now is the New. Pentecost is today is Pentecost worship service, and please open your Bible, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. As I said earlier, today is Pentecost worship service. Today is Pentecost. Pentecost means 15th day in Greek, which is 15th day after Jesus' resurrection and the 10th day after Jesus' ascension into heaven. In the Old Testament, Pentecost is also called the Feast of 7 weeks. On this day, Pentecost Sunday morning, more than 120 believers gathered to worship and pray when there was a sound like a violent wind blowing and tongues of fire appeared. And this is the descent of the Holy Spirit that took place on the day of Pentecost. Believers of the early church had the only experience of God in history as the Israelites crossed the broken Red Sea. Pentecost is sometimes taken as a day when the Christians of the early church had some kind of special mystical experience that would motivate us today to follow in their footsteps. However, Pentecost is not a day to encourage Christians to have some kind of magical, spiritual, mystical experience. Rather, it is a day to celebrate the historical event of the birth of the church on earth, just like Christmas. If you say today is the Christmas service, we all immediately understand, oh, it's a service celebrating the birth of Jesus. But if you say today is the Pentecost service, not many people would think, oh, today is the day to celebrate the birth of the church. Rather, we tend to remember it as a day when the Holy Spirit descended and filled the people with His presence, and a day when people had some special mystical experience. However, the point of Pentecost is not to have mystical experience, but to remember once again the opening of a new curtain of God's work, and that work is still progressing. Therefore, wishing for a reenactment of Pentecost, a special event that happened only once in history 2,000 years ago, in our time would be nonsense, like wishing for the birth of Jesus Christ once again in our time. But this does not mean there is no filling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can give us the same mystical spiritual experience such as Christians of early church had. And the Holy Spirit will do still now. Even now, it is true that there are many spiritual mystical experiences. For example, when someone was praying, something like a hand entered in his mouth and began to move his tongue and speak in tongues through the work of the Holy Spirit. Or when a pastor prays for someone, she fell backwards and experienced the presence of God all over her body while she was still conscious, or someone was healed on the spot after praying. But any spiritual mystical experience is not a reenactment of Pentecost. At the same time, it is not motivation to wish for reenactment of Pentecost. It is simply a grace that God has given us. The Pentecost service is not the day to promote spiritual mystical experiences, nor is it necessary to promote spiritual mystical experiences in the Christian faith. And experiencing spiritual mysteries is not a prerequisite for the Christian faith. And whether or not you have experienced spiritual mysteries is not proportional to whether or not you have faith. It is not proof you devote or you are in faith, but it is just one of blessings in a long life of faith. If we are proud of that grace and use it to look down on other Christians or try to make them superior or inferior, then the precious grace of God is no longer a grace of God, but it will be a terrible boast. For us believers, the common spiritual mystical experience is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. By the Holy Spirit, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my only Savior. When you get right down to it, there is no better spiritual mystery experience than this. When I found myself looking down on other Christians because I was so proud of mysterious experience I had, I could not help but reflect on my own foolishness. I was stupid. And when I looked again at characters in the Bible, I realized that not all believers had spiritual mystical experiences, and they did not all have the same experiences. Most of them, through daily eating of God's word, offering prayers, and asking God to listen to their thoughts, eventually realized that they were out of sync with God's thoughts, and they were persuaded, surrendered, and convinced by God's will. In other words, I realized the spiritual mystical experiences are not given to us because our faith is strong or good, but rather because our faith is weak and stubborn. Therefore, reading about Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, if you treat others from a superior perspective, thinking, I've had similar experiences, so I'm a full-fledged believer, you should do your best to have such experiences in order to become a full-fledged believer too. Then you may be completely missing the original intention of celebrating Pentecost. So what kind of day is Pentecost? As I mentioned earlier, Pentecost is the day when the church, the flock that believes in Christ, the church was born by the Holy Spirit. At the same time as birth of the church, the work of gospel preaching began, with gospel being preached in many languages. That work was spread and delivered to us, and we are here today. In the future, the work will continue to spread and be delivered, and those who believe in Christ will be raised up anew. The starting point of God's missionary work is Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. What happened on Pentecost is also reminiscent of the birth of the Lord Jesus, the head of the church, who was born in the fullness of time after the Virgin Mary was pregnant with him by the Holy Spirit, and the angel proclaimed the first gospel of Jesus, saying, "This is the promised Messiah who will save people from their sins." So, Pentecost, like Christmas, celebrates the historical event when the Savior Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, Judea, 2,000 years ago in the fullness of time according to the promise of the Old Testament. It celebrates the day when the Holy Spirit descended upon those who believe in Christ and publicly announced the birth of the church to the world according to the Old Testament and the word of promise of the Lord Jesus. And one of the most important things in the New Testament is that the Holy Spirit is always opening the dawn of a new age. The Holy Spirit guides the birth and public life of Christ, who came as a light to overcome darkness on an earth covered with suffering, anguish, darkness, and gloom. He also desired his disciples on the day of Pentecost to proclaim the finished work of salvation through the cross, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. He gave birth to the church, the flock of the children of light. He also testified to the dawning of a new era in which we look forward to the second coming of Christ and the arrival of Kingdom of God, and the fact that things are moving forward toward this. God is always involved in the new birth that leads to the truth. God is, in a sense, a new thing lover, but he is not a new thing that will pass away with time, but a new thing that will remain forever, be commemorated forever, and be celebrated forever. In John chapter 3, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see God. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless a man is born again of the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God, referring to the primary involvement of God in the new spiritual birth of man. And let's look at Psalm 51. There is a scene where David, after committing adultery, prayed to God with tears of repentance for his sin. Renew my spirit with the Holy Spirit. The spiritual renewal of us sinners can only be done by the Holy Spirit, who is deeply involved in our unspoken spiritual groans. God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who is always involved in birth of Christ, the birth of the church, the new birth from a sinner to a man of God, and the renewal of the human spirit. The coming of the Holy Spirit to the disciples on the day of Pentecost did not happen by chance. There is a very good reason, and God's will behind it. And that reason is new or renewed. Pentecost, called the Feast of Seventh Week in the Old Testament, is the festival of presenting a new grain offering to the Lord on the 50th Sunday after the Sunday following Passover. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 23, verse 15 through 16. From the day after the Sabbath, the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, count off 7 full weeks, count off 50 days up to the day after the seventh Sabbath, and then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. After Sabbath is next day of Passover, which is Sunday, and the seventh week festival is also a day to celebrate being made new, renewed. Closely connected to the seventh week is the Passover, which is the redemptive work that God did to deliver the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt, and they repeatedly appealed to the Egyptian king Pharaoh to let them go, but the more they appealed, the more stubborn he became, and he never listened to the word of God and refused to let them go. So, as a last resort, the Lord God declared that he will strike and kill not only Pharaoh's firstborn, but also all the firstborn, including the livestock of Egypt. However, for the Israelites, God shows them a way to escape the judgment of striking their firstborn if they slaughter an unblemished 1-year-old lamb and apply its blood to the doorposts and dartboards of their houses. God's judgment of striking the firstborn will be passed over, and the firstborn of their firstborn and the firstborn of their livestock will be spared. Thus, Israelites as commanded by God experienced the saving grace of God's judgment being passed over as everyone shared unblemished sheep and goats and smeared the blood on the doorpost of every house. After experiencing the blessing of Passover, the Israelites were commanded by God to celebrate the Passover every year to commemorate God's saving work for generations to come. But Christians do not observe this Passover because we have come to receive the grace of God to pass over His judgment forever. Because of whom? Because of Jesus. Instead of the blood of unblemished 1-year-old lamb on our gatepost to pass over the judgment of God, instead of the blood of an unblemished 1-year-old lamb that was smeared on the doorpost, pass over the judgment of God. Jesus died on the cross, shedding His blood to forgive the sins of all of us and to pass over the judgment of God. So there is no need for those who believe in Christ to have a Passover anymore. Instead, we celebrate Christmas, remember the Passion of the Christ, celebrate Easter, and celebrate Pentecost. Let's look at John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." That's what it says right here. Jesus was aware that He was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the Bible says that He began and ended His public ministry with Passover. And let's look at John chapter 2, verse 13. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. The beginning of Jesus' public life was at the time of the Passover, and the time of the end was also the time of the Passover. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And John chapter 13, verse 1, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for Him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. Matthew chapter 26, verse 1 through 2. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, He said to His disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Jesus knew better than anyone else that He would shed His blood and tear Himself apart for the salvation of mankind, like unblemished 1-year-old lamb to be offered at the Passover, and He lived a life of witness as the Savior. It is Passover that reminds us of and connect us to this atonement of the cross of the Lord Jesus. And the 50th day after this Passover was the feast of the seven weeks. In other words, we are to remember the blessing of God's Passover, being saved, being born again for 7 weeks, 49 days, and to present the new grain to the Lord on the 15th day, Sunday. The point is that the offering is to be made on the 15th Sunday. It is not on the previous Saturday, the Sabbath, the last day of the week, but on Sunday, the first day of the new week, that we offer the new grain. This is the point. There is one thing we need to make sure of here. Sunday is not weekend, but the beginning of the week. In recent Japanese calendar, Sunday is strangely placed behind the first day of the week. Making it seem as if Sunday is the weekend, but Sunday is not the weekend, it is the beginning of the week. In other words, it is not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, but rather Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. From yesterday, today is next week's Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week. If you don't understand this, you will not be able to grasp the message the Bible is trying to convey. In the book of Genesis, we read that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. In other words, God made everything in 6 days from Sunday to Friday and rested on Saturday, the weekend. That is why in the Old Testament era, people observed the Saturday Sabbath as the day of worship. However, we Christians in the New Testament era observe Sunday as our day of worship. Why is that? Because the Lord Jesus was resurrected on Sunday, the day after the Sabbath. So, why was Jesus resurrected on Sunday, the first day of the week, and not on Saturday, the Sabbath? It was to announce the dawn of a new age, the coming of kingdom of God, and the Lord God's recreation of new heaven and new earth, that the world as it exists today is doomed to perish because of the sins of man. By resurrecting not on Saturday, the last day of the week, or Sabbath, but on Sunday, the first day of the week, he announced that the resurrection of Lord Jesus was the beginning of God's work of recreation of the heavens and the earth. 50 days after the resurrection, on the day of Pentecost, which is also the first day of the week, on Sunday, the Holy Spirit descended to give birth to the church, to raise up a flock of Christians, and to declare the expansion of the flock. Through this, God publicly showed the world that we Christians are the heroes who will enter the new heaven and new earth, which is the fruit of God's recreation work. This is the reason why the Holy Spirit had to descend on the day of Pentecost. With the descent of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, the promised series of completed salvation work of the birth of the Messiah, the passion of the Messiah, the resurrection of the Messiah, and the descent of the Holy Spirit was shown to the world. And another interesting feature of the 7-week festival, 7 weeks festival, is the offering of new grain. God says, don't offer newborn livestock, but new grain for the Israelites. To be honest, the common is traveling. They were landless, wandered on their way to the promised land that God had given them. In order to offer grain, you need land to grow grain, but they don't have any land, but they have livestock. They have livestock because they can graze them. However, in order to offer grain, they need to have land that they can cultivate. They need to take care of the grain while settling on the land. They cannot do that. So did God give this order to be mean to the Israelites? No, it was to give them hope and a future to live happily in the new promised land, growing grain as much as they could on the land they owned. In fact, when he commanded the Israelites to keep the Passover, he also added these words to give them hope for the new promised land. Let's look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 25. When you enter the land the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. So when you enter the land, the Lord will give you as he promised. So God knew they need the land, and he gave hope. They have new promised land. The feast of 7 weeks is a day that is all about the new, to all intents and purposes. In that new time, the Holy Spirit descended and renewed everything, opening the way for us to live not for perishable, false new things that disappear, but for eternally new things that will never disappear, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so that we can live in anticipation of the new heaven and new earth. The lives of the heroes of faith, prophets, and disciples we encountered in the Bible may seem like unrealistic old story. They may seem to have nothing to do with our painful, difficult lives. But there is a reason why God showed us their lives in a special way, even today. It is so that we can know the God who created our lives and learn what our lives are all about. Now, when we look around us, we see lives like Joseph's, walking in the dark, or like Moses, with nothing to do and no future to envision, or like Job's, where he was frustrated in the midst of tribulation and adversities, and there were lives like Habakkuk's, resentful of absurdity of the world, or like Paul's, caught up in the idea that the God I know must be like this. When we look around others, like Paul, Joseph, like Moses, like Job, like Habakkuk, we find ourselves living a life like them. God has given us the Holy Spirit, given us faith, and given us the grace and opportunity to be renewed at any time, in any place, and under any circumstances. What we can do now is not to dwell on the past, but to remember and pray for the blessing of being given the Holy Spirit to be renewed now. No matter what time, no matter when, whenever, now is new because of the Holy Spirit, and we are promised new things that will never be lost. Let us pray.